And we are kicking off a new series. And I hope that it will be as exciting as those things looked. Anybody have New Year's resolutions to go skydiving or cliff diving or something this year? Okay, I see that hand. Good. Very good. Well, you heard it in the announcements. We talk about it. We try to talk about it real briefly every week here while we're mobile, that we are heading back to our home base back down on Van Dyke at Hall Road there. The extreme makeover is coming to a close, believe it or not. All right, we're getting there, guys. And I want to say thank you to all the people. You know, every week I'm so thankful for all the people that have been working to set up and run the church services here every Sunday, and then to tear it down right afterwards and pack it back up. So many people involved with that. I'm thankful to our small group hosts, and we have youth host homes that have been hosting our youth group while we've been mobile, so I could still meet with the teenagers and we could study the Word together and fellowship. I'm just thankful to you guys. You're keeping the church moving forward, the kingdom of God advancing. I'm also thankful to all the people involved in helping with the renovation. Different people involved with you know, making sure we're doing the right things the best we can back there. And I'm telling you, as I walk around, I wish you guys could walk around it as often as I do and see all the new things happening each week. It's very exciting. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We do talk about the building a lot because we want to remind you that it's coming, and we want to keep you in the know along the way. But our main objective here at Stony Creek Church is not to build a building. Our main objective here at Stony Creek Church is not to return even to our building. Whether we returned or got hit by a tornado, don't worry, it's not going to be hit by a tornado, as far as I know, Randy. You know, tomorrow, and we're here for another year, you know, we've got a different mission than having a building, than renovating a building. And this series that we're kicking off this morning is about our real mission, what we're really here to do. Because here's the thing, pretty soon we're going to be back in this building, and really we'll have a great challenge ahead of us to renew our effort to reach the community that God has planted us in with the gospel, the life-saving, the eternal life saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do. We're here to make more and better followers of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, maybe you personally, you know, it's New Year's now. It's the new year now. And maybe you've got some big goals yourself. We've got big goals, a big vision in our church, but maybe you've got some yourself for your family, for yourself. This is the time of year we think about these kinds of things. And so, to help us consider the goals in our lives, to help us consider the challenges before us and how best to take them on in this life, we are kicking off this series entitled Life to the Max. Life to the Max. It was our Lord Jesus who said these words. They'll be on the screen there. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but help me out. I have come that they may have life." Life. And what kind of life, Jesus? Have it to the full. To the full. Many things in this life can play the thief that steals and kills and destroys us. There's no lack of things trying to do that to us in this world. But Jesus offers real life, and he calls it living to the max, the full life. Today's session begins with our most urgent message to the world. Our most urgent message, it was given to the church by Jesus himself. Today's message is called Maximum Hope. Hope. And boy, does our world need it. Our world needs hope. Despite all the beauty in this world and the people that we love and care about that are in our lives and whom love us, this can be a cold and harsh place, can it? I mean, here we are in America, one of the richest and freest, most powerful nations in the world. Most opportunities for all people right here, all genders, races, religions. And yet even here in America, we devalue life, We hate people who disagree with us. We tear each other down. We make enemies of each other. Even in this free society, we find ourselves surrounded by things that steal, kill, and destroy. But the ultimate thief, the one that Jesus is referring to, is the enemy himself, the devil. The devil. The devil uses all these bad things that tear us down, but you know, he's craftier than that. He's clever, more clever than that. He also uses all kinds of fun things to distract us from real life. Yeah, he uses the bad stuff, but he'll use anything that can distract us. He'll use anything in our lives to keep our eyes off of the one who gives us real life. He'll even use blessings. He'll use our job, our family, our church even. If we're so focused on the gifts that God gives us in this life that it keeps us from turning toward the gift giver, well, the devil's happy to let us live comfortably. Meanwhile, he still steals, kills, destroys the real life that Jesus came to offer. But if we must have the life Jesus wants to give us, the life that we're going to start looking at here today, well, then the devil's next tactic is to distract us from sharing that hope with other people. If you have life in Christ, well, then the next thing the devil would like to do is stop you from ever helping somebody else find that same life, that same hope that's been given to you. Jesus claimed this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Help me out. No one comes to the Father except through me." If Jesus is right, and his resurrection proves that he is, then Jesus embodies the truth. He is the only way to eternal life with our Creator, and he alone offers life to the max. You see, Jesus isn't just our best hope or a good hope or one of many great hopes. Jesus is our only hope. He is our only hope. He is the one and only. He is our maximum hope. What is maximum hope? It's a person, Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to talk for the next few weeks about life to the max, we need to start right here. And let's consider, take out your outlines, get your pen ready to go. We're going to consider what God did to give us this hope. We're going to look at that. It's a back to basics here today. What did God do for us to give us this hope? Well, the first thing that you want to write down is that he created us for relationship. His very design, his very pleasure to create us was to have relationship with him. Look at this. In the very first chapter, in the very first book of the Bible, God makes human beings in his image to have a relationship with him and to govern over the rest of creation. It's in Genesis 1:27. It reads, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it.'" This here was our best honor and privilege and joy to know God and to live for him. That's how we get the best out of life. That's what Jesus defines as living to the max, knowing, being in relationship with him and the Father and growing in that. That's life to the max, and we were created for that very thing. But the problem is that humanity walked away from God. We turned our back on that life. We rebelled against God. It began in the garden. We know the story of Adam and Eve, but it continues in us today. We see it. We see it in the way that we hurt ourselves and we hurt others and we offend God. We do it with our actions. We do it with our thoughts. We've turned away against our Creator. The Bible calls this rebellion sin. This is the problem, all right? This is the problem that gets in our way of life to the max is sin. And nobody's exempt from it except Jesus. Homer Simpson once said that. Reading the Bible, he said, "What a preachy book. Everyone's a sinner." Oh, except that guy. And then there's a lot of things in The Simpsons that I don't endorse. But that particular sentence or two was truth, all right? Sin breaks our relationship with God. It separates us from God here on earth and into eternity. And while God created us to have relationship with Him, we chose to walk away. And the penalty, the consequence for walking away from God here on earth is that if it's unchecked, that separation goes on into eternity called hell. This leads to our second big thing that God did to give us maximum hope. Jesus was crucified for our sin. Crucified for our sin. Jesus is God the Son, God in human flesh. He became a human being to reveal to us what God was like, to reteach us how to live for Him. That's what Jesus did. And then He suffered separation from God the Father on the cross. It was the separation that we earned. He did it in our place. The Apostle Paul writes it like this in Romans. He says, the wages of sin is death. And he's talking about not just physical, but spiritual death, separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And how did Jesus give us this gift? Well, Paul had already written about that in the previous chapter in Romans 5:8. He writes, God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When Jesus died on the cross, He wasn't just dying that physical death. There on the cross, He endured that separation from the Father. He paid our debt in full for our sin. This is our most urgent message. We call it the gospel. And just in case you're not clear what I mean when I say gospel, you can fill in the blanks and write it down. All right? No stone is going to be left unturned here. No definition of a term is going to be assumed here today. All right? What is the gospel? This is it. Jesus is Lord. That means God, the boss. He died on the cross. He suffered that separation in our place. He paid the penalty for sin, and He arose again. When Jesus arose from the dead, He proved that He is who He claimed to be, God Almighty, and that He did what He claimed He would do, and set free anyone who would trust in Him, who would come to Him. God created us for relationship, we strayed, and then He made the way back possible on the cross. But there's a third thing that I want to highlight before we look at what we do with this maximum hope. There's a third thing that God did to give us maximum hope. Write this down. He calls us to come. God draws us to Himself. The Apostle Peter gave the first recorded gospel presentation in public. After Jesus had ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came and infused the church, empowered the church, and Peter stood up in Jerusalem, and he gave the first public address and gospel presentation at the beginning, the founding of the church here. And the people responded. They said, what should we do about this, Peter? He told them that Jesus is Lord, that He died on the cross and arose from the dead. People said, well, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is, help me out, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That promise for eternal life is for everyone whom God will call, and He calls us to Him. We're that far off in there. He'll call everybody to come to Him. God is calling each of us to repent and trust in Jesus, to receive the forgiveness that He offers us. The Apostle Paul, later on in Acts, he was sharing again the gospel with people in Acts chapter 17. And he said this, he said, God commands all people everywhere to repent, for He has set a day that He will judge the world with justice by the man He's appointed. And He has given proof to everyone by raising Him from the dead. God calls us. In that same passage there, Paul says, God even determined where people would live and when so that they'd have the best opportunity to come to Jesus, to be called, to hear that call. And so God has created us for the max life and relationship with him. When we lost it by walking away, Jesus was crucified to bring the way back to us. And now, even today, God calls us. He's drawing us to come to him. And so there's a question that comes to my mind, and maybe it came to your mind. Why isn't everybody a Christian then? Why, when we look around this world, wouldn't everybody just trust in Jesus and cross over from death to life? Well, that's what brings us to the next part on our outline, and that's what we need to do with hope. You see, we can't do God's part. We can't do it. We wouldn't be here if he hadn't created us. We wouldn't have a way back to if Jesus hadn't been crucified for us. We can't do enough good deeds to cover for our sin. We can't pay enough money to charity to somehow pay our way into heaven. We couldn't do it. We wouldn't even know to go back to God if it wasn't God drawing us to himself, calling us to come. We can't do God's part, but here's the thing. God won't do our part. He's left the choice to turn and come to him, to us. He's given us this free will choice. So the first thing that we need to do, every single one of us, every person whoever will live, whoever has lived, needs to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Here at Stony, we've got this process for doing ministry. It's just how we chart, you know, where people are in growing in discipleship. And the first step in our discipleship process here at Stony is to come to Christ, to come to him in the first place, begin that relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I call this our max verse of the week, all right? We're going to have a max verse every week. It's one that if you're going to remember, memorize a verse, memorize John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's not just our good hope or great hope. He is the only hope, the maximum hope for us. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. But what does that mean? What does it mean to come to Christ? Well, write this down. It means to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, that can be said in a lot of different ways. This is our kind of favorite way to say it at Stony Creek Church because it highlights some things. The word trust isn't just belief that Jesus is God, like how the devil knows for sure that Jesus is God. It's a personal trust in him as our God. He is my personal God. And the word Lord, that's what it means, is God. He's the boss. When you trust in Jesus as Lord, you're saying, "I'm not the boss of me anymore. Jesus, you're the boss of me. You tell me what to do, and I'm going to trust you that it's the right thing, and that's what I'm going to follow." And Jesus promises when we do, that's where you're going to see life to the max. Savior means the one who died for us on the cross. When you trust in him for that, you're saying, "I'm not trusting in myself to get to heaven. I know I can't make it. I'm humbling myself in front of an awesome God who loves me. And I'm saying that I trust in what Jesus did for me, that he paid my debt, and I'm throwing myself on him." That's what it means to come to Christ. We trust in him as Lord and Savior. And Paul says it like this in Romans. We read a couple passages from there already. He says, "If you confess that Jesus is your Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, help me out, you will be saved. You will be saved. You will cross over from death to life." My prayer is that today no one will leave here who hasn't put his or her trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, there's this great, great promise given. It says in verse 12, "All who believed in him," in Jesus, "and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." I pray that if there's anybody here who has never put their trust in Jesus, if you've never done that, do it today. If you need to talk with somebody, if maybe you have questions first that need to be answered, I'm trying to give you good detail here, but maybe something's not clicking and you need to talk, come down here after the service. We've got our pastoral prayer team that would love to talk with you. and pray with you. But of course, even right now, you can talk to God directly. You don't need me to stand in between you and God. Talk to him directly and say, I want to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know nothing but Jesus can cover my sin, can forgive my sin, and restore me to relationship with you, God. Do it, and then you have become a child of God. And now there's one more thing that we're going to look at, and we're going to spend the rest of our time here talking about this. If you have come to Christ, like I have, I did it when I was a teenager a lot of years ago. Man, 21 years ago. I just did the math while you guys were laughing at my last comment. 21 years ago, I was a senior in high school, and Stony Creek Church was meeting in this facility, and I sat right about where Theo's at, I think, my first visit here, right around that area. And through the ministry here at Stony, I heard the message that I'm sharing now today, 21 years later. Same message, and it'll always be the same. It's the eternal message of the gospel. I'm happy to be able to share what I've learned. If you've done that, the next question is, now what? Now what do we do with this hope? I've trusted in Jesus. I've come to Jesus. Well, the next thing you want to write down is call forwarding. I don't know if that's a thing anymore. Can you even call forward anymore? That's a 1990s term. But I had a lot of C's in my outline, and so I wanted to keep the C's going. And so, you know, I probably used a lame old term. Man, 21 years ago, that would have been a great fill in the blank when Randy first preached this message back then. You see, there's God's part in calling us to Jesus, but there's also the church's part. There's the church's part. Look at what it says at the close of the Bible. In Revelation, it says this. Look at this. In chapter 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. The Spirit there is the Holy Spirit. That's God calling us, like we've already talked about, drawing people to himself. He's calling people to come, but so is the bride. And the bride here is the church, the bride of Christ. The church is given a lot of different pictures of how our relationship works with God. One of them is Jesus' bride, that he's the groom, and all of us make up the bride of Christ. And we see that Christians everywhere are involved in this reaching out and drawing people, telling people to come to Christ. If you've received the maximum hope that Jesus provides you, don't keep it to yourself. We cannot keep it to ourselves. Jesus commanded us, our Lord, the one that we said we're trusting in him as the boss, the Lord, he's given us the marching orders in life. He commanded us to get out there and to call people to come. I'm going to read it to us. We're at the very time it happened. We call it the Great Commission. It's at the end of Matthew, the gospel. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, go out into the world now. You're a disciple of mine. Awesome. We have a growing relationship now. Here's what you do. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We did a survey here, you may remember, last week if you were here. And I want to give one of the reports. I'm going to talk about that survey a little bit here over the next couple of weeks. But this was an encouraging statistic from our people that were surveyed. 75% of the people in the service last week that filled out the survey claimed that they had shared the gospel personally with somebody in their life in the past. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. I'm encouraged by that, to see that so many people here, right here in this room, understand that evangelism is not just the job of somebody with the gift of evangelism, a great evangelist or a pastor. It's not just Randy's job or my job but it's all of our job. It's the whole church that ought to be reaching out with this message. I think that there's a lot of folks that are intimidated to share the gospel and their story with others. They think, I'm not ready yet. I'm not equipped yet. I want to share a story, a passage from the Gospel of John with you very briefly that's always encouraged me, and it's one I love to share with brand new believers, you know, because they wonder, well, what now? What do I do now? I've put my trust in Jesus. I say, well, get out there and tell your friends about it. You know, continue growing. We're going to talk about that as the weeks go on, how we grow in our own relationship. But out of the gate, you can start calling people to Christ. Look at this. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it reads, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist, had said and who had followed Jesus. Help me out. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. Oh, did it keep going yellow in there? Oh, okay. No, that's okay. You were just enthusiastic and I appreciate it. I got to look at the screen when we're reading together. I need to be a professional about this. Yeah. The first thing he did was to tell his brother. He says, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. So here, before we go on, you've got Andrew is called and he puts his trust in Christ. And the first thing he does, he hasn't, you know, studied the whole Bible with Jesus yet. He hasn't, you know, been through a discipleship class or a membership class yet. He's like, I know Jesus now and I want the people in my life to know Jesus. And he goes and gets his brother who's out, you know, just doing his own thing, ends up being Peter, all right? He's the chief apostle who Jesus leaves in charge after he ascends back to heaven. But it goes on. This is so cool. In John's gospel, it says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so now you've got Philip that goes and finds his buddy Nathanael because he's put his trust in Christ. He's like, this is the one, the Messiah, who we've been waiting for and looking for. And he doesn't just hog Jesus to himself. He goes out. He finds his friends. If you've come to Christ, you know what it means to be forgiven, to have a relationship with Jesus. And now, out of our heart of thankfulness to our Heavenly Father, and out of the love that He gives us for people who are far from Him, we ought to be compelled to go out with this gospel message and to share it with our friends and our family and our neighbors. We got to share this hope that, of course, brings eternal life in relationship with God, and it goes on to grow, to heal hurts. This hope that resurrects marriages, this hope that breaks addictions, this hope that comforts the lonely and the outcast and gives purpose to every single person in God's family. That's what we possess, but maybe our neighbor doesn't. Maybe our relative doesn't. And so here's the question. How are you forwarding Jesus' call in your life? I've got a list here that we're going to talk through a little bit, but you might jot down some New Year's goals just in the margin. I didn't give you too much blank space on your outline. I filled that thing up, and there's a reason for it. We'll get to it. But where you find it, maybe you'll write down some goals of how you can do these different things in your life here in 2019. The first one is to begin praying regularly for the people in your life. Pray for others. Make a list. It might be 5 people. It might be 50 people in your life that you love, that are planted in your life. You're planted in their life. You know they need Jesus. Would you commit to pray for that list weekly? Set up a day of the week that you just stop what you're doing, and that morning you pray down that list for those people to know Jesus. And then be intentional about sharing your faith with those folks. Share your faith. Make a goal. I challenge you as your friend, as your brother in Christ, as your pastor, to make a goal to have at least one conversation about Jesus with every person on that list this year. Begin praying for them, and I would say seize the opportunity. Why not do it in January? Because we don't know how much time we have. Give a copy of that list to a trusted friend. Maybe you can swap lists with each other so you can check up. Hey, how many people have you talked to on this list? Because I know there's people in my life that it's pretty easy to talk with. There's other people that I'm intimidated to talk to, and it's weird. Like, you know, family members. I mean, my grandma was hard to talk to. Thankfully, I did talk with her. My dad talked with her. She ended up trusting Christ. But I remember when she got sick and I was scared for my grandma. And here she is. Not only is she my sweet grandma who just loves me, but she's also sick and hurting and maybe dying. And so I sensed the extra urgency to share the gospel with her. But I still, something weird, it was intimidating for me. Like, she changed my diapers, you know? So how do I know something she doesn't know about eternal life, you know? And sure, I'm a pastor at Stony, but I'm Chrissy in my house, you know? And nobody is allowed to call me that, except my mom and my grandma. But anyway. But you, yeah, I know, I let that one out. It can be intimidating, sure. You know what? That's why we switch our list with people so they can hold us accountable. Hey, you're going to have a conversation with your grandma. How are you going to do that? How are you going to broach the topic? And you can get a trusted friend to hold you accountable with that. It works wonders to have somebody else praying for you, encouraging you, and following up with your list. All right? Let's be intentional. These people need Jesus. If you say, well, here's the thing is I don't really know a lot of non-Christians. Everybody in my social circle are all believers, you know. All my friends are at church. My family is saved. And, you know, my kids are all in Christian leagues in school, so we don't really interact with a lot of believers. Well, I encourage you in 2019 to change that. Change that. We still have air in our lungs. Jesus has got us here for a reason, all right? If we've put our trust in Jesus to be saved, he's got a reason for us to still be in this world and not called home to him. And that is to continue to advance the kingdom, to be a part of that. And so get out there, have a barbecue for your neighbors and knock on some doors of people you haven't seen maybe ever in your neighborhood. Say, hey, we're having a barbecue this weekend. I mean, not this weekend because it's, you know, it's winter. But, you know, take a class, join a club, a non-Christian club, a non-Christian class. Get out there, you know, join a non-Christian bowling league or something. I don't know. Put yourself out there to mingle with people if you don't already have folks in your life that you can be praying for and sharing with. You know, if my neighbor, I've used this analogy before, if my neighbor I found out was paying about, let's say, $20 more a month for their internet bill, okay? And my neighbor Tim's a good guy, and he told me this, and I would say, wow, you know, Tim, I've got this provider, and I'm saving $20 a month, you know? And I tell him that because I care about my neighbor, and I think $240 a year, you know, a year is a lot of money. Now, he might decide not to do that. He might say, ah, it's fine, it's just too much of a hassle, or whatever his reasons are. But the point is, I would share that. I found a deal. I'm going to share that with him. Well, that's just an internet bill. We're talking about eternal life. We know something that will save people's lives now and into eternity. We can't just keep that to ourselves. We might share our faith in a person for whatever reason they decide in their heart. They decide, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna trust in Christ like you did. And that could break our heart, but the possibility of them saying no is not a good reason not to share. We gotta go out and we gotta share this with people. God loves these people. You say, well, the thing is, Chris, you mentioned that, you know, with Andrew and Philip, they kind of just ran first thing, but I just feel like I don't know enough. I don't even know how to share the gospel. Well, here's the thing. That outline that you're holding has got everything you need on it to share. It's got what God did to draw us to himself and what he's calling us to do. The scripture references are right there. That's why so much was on your outline this week. I know it was pretty cluttered, but it's there for you. Here's what you can do. Just like I might walk over to Tim's house and say, hey, Tim, this is my internet bill. Take a look and see if, you know, you might save $20. You know, I'm pretty happy with the service. You can do that with that outline. There. You can say, hey, this was just shared at my church the other day, and it's super important to me, and I care about you. I'd really like to share this with you. Can we talk through this? There you go. You just broke the ice. I gave you an icebreaker, all right? And so you can use that with somebody. It'll help bring you through the gospel presentation. Of course, there's lots of other tools and resources for sharing the gospel, but you're walking out with a fresh one right now that you can use. And you've got an excuse. You're like, oh, I just heard this the other day and it's super important to me. Can I walk through this with you? I even wrote mine, even though I have it on my outline, so that I can do it. I'd be like, hey, this was just shared at church the other day. By the way, it was me that shared it. But anyway, this was shared at church the other day, and I thought I would share this with you. A couple other things we can do is use social media in a real positive, effective way. This is a powerful resource because our culture is all about, we live like in the real world, but we also live in this virtual social media world. And so that can be used. Jesus taught his disciples to be wise with their resource. Use everything for God's glory and the advance of his kingdom, everything at our disposal. But I want to encourage you to be wise about how you use social media. All right, don't just post memes that only serve to anger and enrage people. All right, like, man, I just hate stupid atheists because they're so dumb and dumb. You know, don't post that meme. You know, that's because no atheist is sitting around clicking through their computer. You know, I am going to rethink my life now because I didn't even think about the dum-di-dum part. Okay. No. We show love and compassion and reach out to people. And we should do that online, too. For some reason, being online emboldens us sometimes to, well, just to be jerks. And we can't be doing that. What we ought to do instead is post the positive reasons why you follow Christ. Post things that draw you to Jesus. Post things that excite you even about your church. You know, when you come here on Sunday morning, check in with maybe a highlight from the service and that kind of thing. Give people the pros. Now, don't feel like that's you sharing the gospel. That's just peppering it out there in social media so that when you have a conversation with somebody and you invite them to church or you talk about your faith in Jesus with them, they've already seen these little seeds and it's already been planted along the way. Of course, if we're sharing about a new series or an event, you know, with Stony Creek Church, forward those things on. Share them. Hey, my church is doing this. It looks exciting. You know, get the buzz out there. And then when you talk face-to-face with your friends, they've already heard a little, oh, yeah, I think I saw you share that. Tell me about that. You'll get that kind of reaction, all right? Another thing that we can do is participate in community events. That one's hard to read on the slide, but on there on your outline, you've got it. You know, we do events fairly regularly, and we're looking to do more. Things like, as a church, I mean, there are things like the 5K run that was a few weeks ago out there, and we had a group out there just handing out Timbits and invites to our Christmas service. We're just rubbing shoulders with our community. We've done the Utica Egg Hunt. We hand out hot cocoa there. We've been down at the Utica River Walk to hand out free bottled water to people. And we're there to talk with people and just interact and pray with people if they're, you know, something's on their heart. And also give them an invite to come out and check out the church. And so when we have those kinds of things, as we move back into our building, we're going to be doubling down on these efforts to reach our community. We've got lots of plans. I'd love to hear if you've got ideas too. Hey, let's brainstorm. But when those things happen, consider signing up and participate with those things. You know, be a part of our street team out there. You know, Jesus said, go make disciples, not sit here and if people come, then make disciples. You know, but to go into our community. And so this is one way that we can do it, and it's actually really fun. The types of things that we do. So we have a good time interacting. It's positive all the way around. And then finally, on this list anyway, is feel, you know, free every Sunday to invite people to church. We have special services throughout the year where you have extra excuse to invite somebody. Maybe there's a guest speaker or we're kicking off a new series. One that's going to be coming up pretty soon is after we move back into the building. We've had a couple of weeks to get used to it, you know, get the bugs worked out. We're going to have our official grand opening there. It's just an excuse. It's just a shameless excuse for you to have another reason to invite people to church. It's just a regular church Sunday, you know, but we're calling it the big grand opening, and maybe we'll get the mayor from Utica to cut like a ribbon or something, you know, on stage. But it's really just another fun, you know, way to break the ice with people. But every week, every single Sunday, folks, you can trust that whoever's speaking up here is going to share the gospel message, no matter what we're teaching about, that's going to be in there. You can trust that we're being careful to make our messages applicable, you know, these biblical teachings applicable to daily life. We scrutinize over these kinds of things so that each week we would feel excited and energized to invite our friends and family to come to church. Sometimes we go through the rounds. Maybe 5 years ago, you invited everybody you've ever known to come to church, and you feel like, well, I've already invited them all. Yeah, but invite them again. Do it this year, all right? Do it in 2019. I know that while we do strive to have a great quality, and I appreciate our praise band, I really today Just so thankful for them leading us in praise and worship. I know that we can't compete with, you know, the concert hall or the movie theater for entertainment value. And really, we don't want to, and we shouldn't need to. It's exciting and it's engaging, and I like it. But I know we can't compete with, you know, the new Little Caesars Arena and the concerts they can put on and stuff, but we don't need to do that. We've got something so much better. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. We have his love, his people, his presence, his power to heal us, to send us back out into a week to live for him, to live the max life. Let's get excited to invite people to experience that here at church, all right? This is how the kingdom has always advanced. It's how we're going to continue to see God's kingdom advance. It's how we're going to see revival in our nation. It's how we're going to see maximum hope spread. It's by people doing our main idea, the last thing that I'd like you to write down on your outline, and it goes like this: come and bring others to Jesus. If you've never come to Jesus, do it today. Do it today. Don't leave here. Make a decision that will forever change your eternity before you decide where to eat lunch later today. Seriously, come down and trust in Jesus, or do it in your seat. If you have trusted in Jesus, go out into the world and call others to know him. Share your story and what he's done for you. God loves these people, and he's planted you and me in their lives. We're the ones that God has planted in their lives to share the gospel and to share what God's done in our lives. Let's get out there, church. All right, let's stand together for prayer. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to keep building on this. We had to start with the most urgent message if we're going to talk about the max life. But we're going to keep building on this. And you may wonder, well, where's Randy? Well, he's right there. Look. Randy is using some time. I'm doing some relief pitching here for the next couple of weeks. Excited to do that because Randy is writing and recording some small group material that we're all going to benefit from, real shortly. They're putting it together pretty fast, but even maybe in February, we're hoping to start rolling these things out. So be praying for him as he's working through that. I hope that it's not just something we do together once, but something that many people can benefit from well into the future. But now let's pray for our friends and family who need Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us here this morning. I thank you for your word that shows us, teaches us who Jesus was and what he did. I thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross, that even though we didn't deserve it, Scripture says while we were still sinners, while our backs were still turned, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus came and took our penalty in our place so that we could be reconciled to you. Father, if there's anybody here who needs to trust in you, I pray they do it right now. They wouldn't leave here without doing that. I pray they tell somebody, me or one of the prayer team or Randy or somebody or the person sitting next to them. May they be encouraged by that decision to follow you. And may they start today experiencing what it means to have life to the full in relationship with Jesus. God, I pray we would all go out. We would all go out as ambassadors of heaven. And we would share the gospel. And we would share the call that we've received with other people to come to Jesus to be saved. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. You're loved and dismissed, and we'll see you next week.